Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 21st of May. Nancy Pearl's new book has been released, and a terrific book it is for all teachers and parents and those who have children in their lives. It is Book Crush for Kids and Teens, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and interest. Nancy, of course, is a pretty regular guest on our program. We talked to her with the release of her bestseller, Book Lust, back in 2003, and then she had more Book Lust, I think, in 2005, and now this book. She's become just this really famous book person, which I'm sure takes her a bit by surprise, too, because she's really down-to-earth, which I love about her. She's worked as a librarian and a bookseller in Detroit, Tulsa, and Seattle. She developed this program. I always say this because I think it's one of the best ideas if all of Seattle read the same book, and then, as you'll recall, all these other cities all over the country did the same thing. She's the former executive director of the Washington Center for the Book. She travels all over the world talking about books. She is a regular on Morning Edition on National Public Radio. She's a regular on our program. And in 2004, she became the 50th winner of the Women's National Book Association Award for her extraordinary contribution, and extraordinary it is, to the world of books. We're so happy to have her with us to talk about her latest book, which I'm sure will be a godsend to those of you who are looking for books that are will make a difference in the lives of your young people. All kinds of titles, over 1,000 titles, and it's put together in terms of for the youngest readers and then the middle readers and high school readers. We get tons of phone calls for Nancy. Please call early if you know what you want to talk about. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Kathleen. It's so nice to be with you.
Oh, it's great to have you here, and you have done it again, dear. It's a great book. I just love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, very.
It was great fun to. It was both great fun and difficult. It was the hardest book to write.
I know you've said that about it. Why is that?
Well, partly it was because so many of these authors are so prolific that how do you choose which one of Lois Ayler's wonderful books that she's written or illustrated, which one or two or three or four do you choose among all the other ones to include? So for a lot of it was just trying to pick and choose among the authors. But then it was really important to me to make this a collection of books that kids of all ages would find interesting to read, and mm-hmm. not do it as books that kids ought to read because
right.
it's good for them.
Yes, exactly. And what about those books? I'm interested in the comparisons. You, of course, were an avid reader when you were young. It was a lifesaver for you to read. Those books that you read when you were a child and being able to incorporate them, because a lot of them have staying power, but you also
they
had
do.
To look at whether they were offensive in some ways, right?
They were. I think that's one of the things that you always have to face and figure out how you're going to handle when you're doing a retrospective of looking at children's books or books for teens. And it was very important for me to include my favorite books from the past that I felt had that kind of staying power that you talked about. But at the same time, views have changed so dramatically and for the best in the way that the majority culture views minority culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, for those books, and it came up as early in my thinking as the Little House in the Big Woods series, which of course author Michael Doris, American Indian writer, would never let his children read because of the way Laura's mother, regarded Indians and talked about Indians in the book. So for each of those books, I had to really think about whether I wanted to include them. And in the end, many of those books, or at least several of those books or those series, I did include. And I talk in the introduction about this being a good chance for parents to talk to their kids about our changing attitudes in a multicultural society.
Mm-hmm. I know you didn't have the happiest of childhoods, and books were a refuge for you, and you became a librarian, I think, in large part because you went to the library, and
Yes. They
gave you books, and they loved you there. But I thought this was so weird that the books, your parents did have books around, and two, you remember picking up and paging through The Naked and the Dead by Norman Mailer
Yes. And
Dr. Spock's Baby in Child Care.
It's so funny. Those are the earliest memories, I think, that I have of books in my parents' house. My mother, of course, was a huge science fiction and fantasy fan. So in later years, there was just bookshelves, many, many, many bookshelves filled with those books. But those earliest memories are of that Norman Mailer book.
Oh, Nancy.
I don't think I read it. I think I just opened it up and sort of noticed that, at least in that edition, and what my memory tells me, that it had no quotation marks for when people are speaking. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, he was very, very much ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's talk about dogs for just a moment. People know I'm a little obsessed with dogs these days, but I did hear you talking about dogs on NPR some time ago.
Yes.
When you were, and all these dog books are making the bestseller list, and you were asked, you talked about Bennett Cerf, one of the founders of Random House.
Right.
Ask how to guarantee a best-selling book. Write about Lincoln's doctor's dog. And
Right. There
was a book published about that.
I know, but it wasn't a bestseller, unfortunately.
No.
So it's the exception that proves the rule.
But you do include a whole list of books about dogs.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know that you love reading about dogs as much as I do.
I do. I absolutely do. And I just heard the most wonderful story. When I was growing up, there was a whole series of books that I don't think I included in Book Crush by a guy named Colonel Meek. And one of the books was called Dignity, a Springer Spaniel. They all had the name of the dog and then the breed of the dog. And in this, somebody was just telling me that he read all of those books by Colonel Meeker. And every single one of them he wept over.
Aww.
And he wept so much that he always suspected or wondered if the publisher had somehow bound in onion skin. because he would just find himself tearing up at the sight of every time he opened one of those books.
Aww.
And do you remember ever reading any of those?
I sure don't, but I sure will.
You got to try to find them. They're long, long out of print. But and I couldn't even find any to talk about, to reread. So I'm not even sure how readily available they are, but surely you could use the interlibrary loan service at the library.
Yeah. I'm sure that, what's the name of Mark's book? Mark Doty?
Oh, yes, his newest book. It's on my bookshelf, but it's in a different
room. We just talked to him some time ago, and I'm sure that you like that book as well.
He has that wonderful poem.
Yes.
Which I think just, Mark Doty, I think his poems are, I often think of them in terms of poems for people who maybe don't think that they like poetry very much.
Dog Years, that's the name of the book.
Dog
Thank
Years,
you, Rhonda.
That's right. Yeah, and
Rhonda the librarian, our producer is answering phones today, so she's on top of it as well. So you've included, do young people like to read books about animals?
I think so. I think at a certain age they still do. I think age 9 to 12, those middle grade readers are still certainly reading animal stories, horse and dog books. I think that they then might move into the Brian Jacques Mossflower fantasy book.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the big things that I discovered when I was working on this book, which is something I think I knew but didn't really appreciate, is how hard it is these days to find books that are not for kids and that are not fantasy based.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been joking that it's very hard to come of age these days unless you have a wizard to help you.
And why is that? Is that just based on the success of Harry Potter? So we have a lot of sequels.
I think so. I think fantasy has always been popular with kids and young adults. In fact, I used to say when I was a librarian that if I wanted to find out what was the newest, the hottest writers for science fiction and fantasy, the people that you would have to sort of lasso and get to talk to you were the teenage boys who came into the library and were standing in front of the science fiction shelves. But it's interesting. I certainly think the Harry Potter phenomenon has sent every publisher out there scurrying mm-hmm. to find a book that will do a teeny bit as well as the Harry Potter books. And as you and I have talked in the past, there are some wonderful ones out there. I know your son enjoyed Gregor the Overlander.
Very much
as
so.
As much as I did. Mm-hmm. Wales on Stilts is another mm-hmm. a kind of lighter, more humorous fantasy. But for that whole age group, really 9 to through high school, fantasy is the big thing, and it was in some cases difficult to find non-fantasy books.
Hmm. What about you include, and you have a big list of nonfiction books,
yes.
and you say when you were a kid, a lot of them were just dull, but they're much better now.
Yes, absolutely, and I think that's another huge change for the better in books for children and teens, and that is that what's recognized now is that the kids read nonfiction with the same pleasure that many adults read nonfiction.
Great.
That they're not solely a source of information, that there's a great deal of good storytelling that goes on in nonfiction as well. So there's a lot of nonfiction in Book Crush, mm-hmm. as there always is in my books, because mm-hmm. I love reading it.
Well, you talk a lot about young people being emotionally ready for certain, and you say this
yeah.
in reference to Harry Potter, that
right.
those books came out every 2 years, so 8-year-old read it, and then they were 10,
right.
so they could handle some of the darkness that
right.
emerged from those. How do you find that the themes of a lot of young people's books are emotionally more advanced than when we were kids, Nancy, and how do you determine whether or not a child is ready for, you know, death or disease or
right.
AIDS or whatever?
I think that's one of the hardest things that parents have to deal with. I think there are a couple of issues to consider. One is that a parent might be upset at what is in a book for a teen, but the teen might not be upset at all.
Right.
So
right.
that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're responding because of your own feelings or whether you're responding because of what you are imagining that your son or daughter is feeling. I do think that in many areas of our society, we push our kids too early. I notice it with my own grandchildren who are like 5 and 3 and just born.
Oh, you had the third one is born
the
now.
The third one is born.
Congratulations. Great.
Very exciting. So now I have 3 little granddaughters.
Oh.
So now I have to write a new book to dedicate to the third granddaughter.
Oh.
But what I see is that the toys, the things that they're given, I mean, even in the area of toys, not books, we're pushing kids to encounter things, I think, at an age when they don't fully appreciate them.
Mm.
Not that it's going to harm them, but I don't think that they're going to fully appreciate them. And I think that I got a letter from a woman whose 10-year-old was assigned a wonderful historical novel called My Brother Sam is Dead, which is on many school reading lists, and she wanted to know whether I thought that 10 was too young to read this book. And so I went out and bought the book and reread it. I had included it in Book Crush, I'm pretty sure, because it's a wonderful historical novel. And it deals with the Revolutionary War. It deals with issues of to whom your loyalties, whose side you're on. It deals with death. And I think that it's not going to harm a 10-year-old to read it. But I think 10 is too young to read that. I don't think they're going to get the subtleties and the distinctions
mm-hmm.
Or be able to think about it in terms that will make a lot of sense to them, that will then help them deal with those same issues as they grow up. So my fear is that, and again, it's not that books aren't going to hurt anybody. I don't think reading Harry Potter all the way through at age 8 is going to hurt you. I think that you're not going to get as much out of it as you would if you read them with that 2-year interval as those of us who were fortunate enough to meet them that
I agree. Nancy Pearl is our guest. Let's welcome phone calls for her. Her latest book is out, Book Crush for Kids and Teens, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and interest. Over 1,000 titles organized into 118 lists, and it's arranged for the youngest readers, for middle grade readers, and then for teen readers and young adults. So let's go to you in just a moment. Here's our number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Milwaukee area callers, 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. Take the lines while they're open. They won't be for long. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Pearl is our guest. Our number, 800-486-8655. Boyd from Milwaukee is our first caller. Nancy, hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning, Nancy.
Hi,
it is
Boyd.
A pleasure to talk with you. I've been looking forward to this for well over a week when it was announced. I have two nephews and a niece, and one of my nephews and niece are fraternal twins, and they just turned 4, and my other nephew, he's going to be 7 this year. And I really want to, because you did mention, we're living in an age where, you wonder future generations how much they're going to appreciate reading. And I confess I didn't start reading avidly as much as I did till much later in life. I am interested, though, in really passing them on, not just for reading in general, but I am a lover of history, of science. Philosophy was my major in college, and I know Christopher Phillips has a good book on philosophy for kids. But I am interested in, having them start out with some good children's literature. I know one of the, you mentioned Harry Potter, and I think maybe I'd want to wait a few years before that, but I'm a big admirer of Arthurian literature, and I know Sutcliffe, he has an Arthurian series that came out a few years ago for kids, which I'd like to read and then pass it on to my first nephew. But I also like the Bunnicula series.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was wonderful. Kathleen, if you haven't read it, you would. The narrator is a dog. So.
Oh.
it's a great series. But I'm wondering, Nancy, are there any series that you'd recommend for a 7-year-old to kind of instill the seed, and then he can run with the ball from there?
Well, I do think the Bunnicula ones are really wonderful. I think another series that's very funny are the Great Brain books by John D. Fitzgerald, set in Mormon Utah. The main character, and this is based on John D. Fitzgerald's own life, growing up one of the very few Catholics in town, and John D. is the younger brother of Tom, the great brain. So those are just really good ones for
the great brain. All right,
yeah, the eight or 9-year old. In your life. Mm. The Rosemary Sutcliffe books, I think, are some of the best historical novels I've ever read. I wish I had written them.
Okay. Okay.
But they're for much older. I would wait until that nephew is 13 or 14 even.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
They're very, very dense narratives and sometimes difficult for kids. I haven't met too many kids who have loved those books as much as the adults have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, point taken. I think, all right, yeah, I'll certainly bear that in mind. There's so much I want to get them interested in.
Right.
Everything from that Edgar Allan Poe. I was just out in Maryland to celebrate his birthday, so I, a lot of, the possibilities are endless, I guess you could say.
And if you like philosophy and you're interested in a little bit in Zen philosophy, there's a wonderful children's author named John J. Muth, M-U-T-H, and you might take a look at his book.
Okay, sure. I'll pass it on to my sister. She and her husband practice Buddhism, so I think they'd be interested.
Oh, my gosh,
oh,
yes.
Yeah, that, oh, yeah,
that's perfect.
You have to do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks, Boyd. Yeah.
And thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
How old were you when you read Rosemary Sutcliffe, Nancy?
Oh, I probably was 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you didn't find it dry and difficult.
It's not dry. It isn't that it's dry. It isn't dry. It's set in Roman Britain. Most of them are set in Roman Britain leading up to the Arthurian period. And she's reimagined Arthur in a wonderful adult novel called Sword at Sunset as one of the last Romano-British leaders. It's amazing. Once you read her version of King Arthur, it's hard to think of him in any other way.
Marty is next from Douglas County. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Marty.
I can't believe you're doing this show this morning. Kathleen, I'm getting ready to go to the post office to send you a book just because I think your show is so great. I know you love dogs and history. It's my favorite book. It's for kids. It's called The First Chinook. Do you know this one, Nancy?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's fabulous. It was published locally up in Duluth, written by David Pagel with these fabulous wood engravings by Rick Allen.
Hmm.
It's the story of Arthur T. Walden, who in 1917 got a puppy, which grew up to be a very large golden-colored dog. He called it a Chinook. It's an actual breed of dog that now exists.
Oh.
He turned it into a sled dog. They were the first dogs to go up Mount Washington, and ended up 12 years later going to Antarctica with Richard Byrd, with Admiral Byrd.
Oh my!
And
wow.
It's funny. It's all done in verse. Huh. It doesn't take long to read it. It's not like a big long historical novel or anything, but it is the most charming thing I have in my life right now. I'm giving it to any number of people I know who, first of all, just love dogs. Just the illustrations alone they're just wonderful. It's just wonderful. And the verse, it isn't it isn't that kind of boring, put you to sleep verse. It's very intelligent. I think kids of all ages would love it. And Nancy, you really, really, really need to look this up. It's fantastic. The Ken Speckle Press, Letter Press, was the publisher, I believe, but it's called The First Chinook, C-H-I-N-O-O-K.
Okay.
Thank you, Marty.
You betcha.
Yeah, I look forward to reading it.
Kathleen, that does remind me of another book for our first caller's nephew, Mr. Popper's Penguins. Do you remember that book?
Yeah, I do.
Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Yes.
It's perfect for 7, 8, 9-year-olds because Mr. Popper writes to Admiral Byrd, who sends him a penguin, and they turn their basement into sort of a replica.
I remember that. Oh, you're bringing back memories, Nancy. Great. Thanks so much, Marty, for your call. Let's go to Patty from Green Bay next. Hello, Patty.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Patty.
Thanks for doing the show again, Nancy.
Always my pleasure. I look forward to it every time Kathleen's people call me.
Well, we look forward to it, too. I have two questions, really. The first is, we have a six-year-old who is following in his brother's footsteps by enjoying Magic Treehouse.
Uh-huh.
Those chapter books. And, you know, he likes to, it's simple reading, you know, chapter reading. He can't do it alone, obviously. And, you know, they're kind of historically based. They're fun. I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure they didn't make it in your, you know, book crush, but we enjoyed the Mary Pope Osborne series. They're kind of
Yeah, we read all those. I kind of liked them as well.
Yeah, they're fun. And then the second thing is we are converting over in our school kind of to guided reading. And I was talking to the fifth grade teacher about this, and my son has read Number of the Stars and Freedom Train with their class. And her concern, not concern, but she doesn't mind switching over, but she has a sense that she likes those group reads, you know, that she's afraid she might lose the ability to do those group reads because everybody will be at different levels. And I was just wondering, you know, Freedom Train has been a great experience. We spent the day at school doing the Underground Railroad and experiencing what that would be like to be part of that. And she did such a great job with expanding on that theme that I was just wondering what your sense is on guided reading and, you know, versus these group reads that kids get to do in some classrooms.
Well, I'm not sure. Well, let me just speak generally. I do think that everybody reading the same book and discussing it is a way of broadening and deepening anybody's experience with a particular book. So that I think that those kind of book discussions, which is what we would call them for adults, are just so valuable, and they would be valuable for kids as well. I guess it would all depend on the varying reading levels. I mean, I think, isn't that what they're responding to?
Yeah, and they do a thing called reading bingo, where they each get to select over the course of a month or two, you know, like 10 books to read.
Uh-huh.
They have to meet a certain criteria. And he's really enjoyed that because he likes the book talk part of that.
Uh-huh.
He likes to tell the story to his friends, and mm-hmm. they get to do book talks.
That's great.
I think she has a great mix. But his last book talk was on The Big Wave, which we found at a used bookstore. You know, it's by Pearl S. Buck.
Uh-huh.
And he loved that book.
Mm.
It was a really good read. And I hope that made it on your book crush. So thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
thank
Patty,
you for
the
calling.
Call. A lot of people, and you address this in your book, Nancy, address reluctant readers.
Yeah. It seems to me that one of the things that I always felt as a librarian, as a children's librarian, especially, is that the reason that kids don't like to read is because no one has introduced them to the book that they won't be able to put down.
Yes.
And I always felt, and I know this sounds egotistical, but I always felt as a librarian that I could find that book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what Book Crush it sets out to do,
is
by dividing it up into all of these quirky categories, everything from sports to books about mice. There'll be just that perfect book for some child to discover at just the right moment.
Right, right. That's a great way to put it. Thanks so much for the call. And you don't believe in, you got to read the whole book, or ever using reading, and people do this for punishment.
Right. I think even the most well-meaning of parents can sometimes slip into this
and say,
oh, you know, you can't go out and play until you finish reading the chapter
mm-hmm.
or finish reading the book, or you have to sit down. I think that reading should always be presented as the great and glorious pleasure and sort of wonder that it brings to a child's life. It needs to be presented that way.
Mm-hmm. And you recommend that we as families still do this, no matter how old you are, half hour, either silent reading or read together after dinner, which is just a nice tradition. If you start it, then you just always do it.
It is. And it's a really good way of both sharing, I mean, either, as you said, everybody reads silently and maybe just talk about the books that they're reading
mm-hmm.
at the end of that half an hour, or just pick a book, and I've included many of them in Book Crush, and you sort of identified them that way. Really good books to share with the whole family.
Right, yeah. We go next to Julie from McFarland. Hi, Jude. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for doing this program. It's wonderful, and I'm taking notes.
We all are.
Right. This is my dilemma. I have a third grader who started reading the Harry Potter series, and I've read them all, and I think they're wonderful. But I stopped him after the fourth book because he's not developmentally ready, as Harry has gotten so much older in the books, and my son is, you know, just turned 9.
Right.
But he's quite convinced that there are no other books in the world to read, and that any book less than 500 pages is not worth picking up. So I'm looking for
a 500-page sequel to Harry Potter.
Age-appropriate Harry Potter, yes.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, if you could convince him to go a little less than 500 pages, I mean, I think you're doing a very brave thing, and I heartily approve of waiting till he's a little older to go past book 4.
Well, I'm, you know, the meanest mom in the town, but
absolutely,
it's good for him.
Absolutely. But, I mean, not that it's going to hurt him in any way to go on and read those books. I just don't think that he's going to be, that's what I call the emotional readiness, that he's not able to really understand or to appreciate or experience the complexities that are in the later Harry Potter books. So I don't think it would hurt him to go on and read them. I would just be afraid he would then never go back to them because he'd read them once
mm-hmm.
and only gotten sort of the surface part. So if you can convince him to do a little smaller than 500 pages, one of the books that's brand new, a wonderful fantasy novel that's brand new is called Un-London by a man named China Mieville, M-I-E-V-I-L-L-E, and it's U-N-L-U-N-D-U-N. Hmm. And it's sort of set in an alternative world. I mean, that would be that would certainly be a good one. I think that the very first Gregor the Overlander.
We read that one aloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
he
one.
He wasn't interested enough to continue the series.
Well, the rest of the series, I'm sorry if somebody is listening who loves them, I didn't think the rest of the series was nearly as good. Mm-hmm. As that first one. Other books you might want to consider, there is a series by Kenneth Oppel, O-P-P-E-L, called Airborne.
Okay.
You might want to go to sort of historical fiction. Pirates are the real thing. You know, pirates are the big thing now. And there's a series by a woman named Michelle Torrey, T-O-R-R-E-Y. So those kind of fantasy adventures would be really good. Anthony Horowitz's books about Alex Rider, which begin with Stormbreaker, kind of a young James Bond.
Mm. Oh, he would like that.
Mm-hmm. He might enjoy those a lot. In fact, I haven't ever met a boy from 9 to 15 who didn't love the Alex Rider books.
And who was the author?
Anthony Horowitz. And the one you want to start with, and I think you really do need to read them in order, is Stormbreaker. One word.
Stormbreaker.
And that one begins something like, when the doorbell rings at 3 in the morning, you can be sure it isn't good news.
Oh, yeah, right up the valley.
Oh, yeah. How did you remember that, Nancy? How do you get this mind that remembers everything?
I don't know. It's bizarre.
It has served you well.
It does, indeed. Another really good one is Ursula Le Guin's A Wizard of Earthsea.
A Wizard of what?
Of Earthsea, E-A-R-T-H-S-E-A.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And there
for
are tons more in Book Crush that you'd find a lot for him.
Over 1,000,
right.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Kim is next from Onalaska. Hi, Kim.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for this program. I have an 11-year-old daughter in the 6th grade, and she absolutely hates to read, so I read to her as much as I can. But, I mean, now that she's going to be going into 7th grade, I mean, how long do I go on doing that? Or are there tips to transition her to reading on her own? I mean, she really hates it.
Really?
She loves books, and we've read many things together, Little Princess, Molly Moon, I mean, you name it, Harry Potter. And she has become a wonderful listener. I think that's helped her in school. But when it comes to now that she's in middle school, she has to read more on her own for her homework and directions and stuff. And I think I've done her a disservice. I don't know. Do you have any tips for me?
I don't think you've done her a disservice at all. I think you've just done a wonderful thing by reading those books and sharing them with her. I think that's a terrific gift that you've given her. And if it's the reading part that she doesn't like, what about books on tape?
That's been a tip that I've gotten before, and I think we should focus on that in the summer for sure. I just worry about her reading for schoolwork, for homework, and reading math story problems, and just that she doesn't have the patience to do it. And
she doesn't have problems with it, does she?
I think she has. You know, when she's listening, she comprehends, and she has good comprehension scores. For listening and following directions, but when it comes to reading the directions and reading comprehension, it's not as good.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that would be something that you would want to talk to her teachers about.
Mm-hmm.
But don't give up reading to her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a wonderful mother-daughter.
Oh, yes.
I would have given anything. That's just wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, and if it is an issue of reading versus listening comprehension, it's a different style of learning, and that's all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose we would need to work with her teachers on that fact.
Absolutely. You don't want her to start school without making sure that her teachers know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I could just hear the longing in your voice, Nancy, and we've talked about this before. I'd give anything if somebody had done that for me. And your family didn't, did they?
Well, they didn't. I mean, my parents were readers. I just don't remember very much warmth, and that's sad. So to hear about a mother who shared all those books with her daughter, it's very heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call. We go next to Kay from Maguanago. Hi, and some lines have finally opened. So the number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I'm looking for some suggestions for teenage girls in the ages of 15 to 17. I was thinking something inspiring about women, if you have any suggestions.
Well, there's a whole section in Book Crush for that age group, and the title of the of that section is called Girls Kick Butt. and there are books in which girls play vital roles. You could always, of course, for that age, go to biographies of famous women. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly some wonderful ones in the adult section.
Okay.
But I picked out for Book Crush rather than specifically those biographies, just some wonderful, entertaining novels in which women are brave and do young women are brave and do unusual things. There's a wonderful fantasy. It's older, but it's still available, called Enchantress from the Stars.
Oh yeah, I have that one.
Oh, you do.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good one to try.
Great.
There are just so many. There's a wonderful series by a man named Lewis Meyer about a young woman named Mary Faber who pretends that she's a boy who because she wants to go to sea. And the first one is called Bloody Jack. Mm. Now that might be a little bit young for a 15 to 17 year old,
mm-hmm.
but certainly one worth trying.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the call. All right, Nancy, I need a recommendation except I got to go beyond baseball. My family is obsessed with baseball, but
yes.
Baseball books, baseball and something else, baseball and world peace or baseball and
right.
something else for a 15-year-old.
Oh, gosh. So hard. You know what I would do? I would try to find, and I believe they're back in print, the baseball novels by John R. Tunis.
Oh, good. All right, great. John?
T-U-N-I-S, and I bet you anything, Kathleen, your husband has read these books when he was a boy.
Okay.
The Kid from Tompkinsville
okay.
is the first one that you want to start with.
Okay.
And they're slower, I think, than what contemporary readers are used to, but they're set at a time when the Dodgers were still in Brooklyn and grass was still grass, but there's moral grass
yes.
is green and that's what you played on.
Right.
But there are some really always in his books interesting sort of moral issues that come
good.
Through.
Oh, you're so good. We all, the 26-year-old and the 15-year-old and I all read, which I hadn't read for years, reread The Chosen. Do you remember that book?
Oh,
it's so
yeah,
rich.
The Chosen.
In
fact, The Chosen and then the other one by him, by Potok, that I just think is right up there, is My Name is Asher Lev.
Okay. I have not read that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes,
okay. Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's a wonderful one.
Okay. Okay. I'll do it. I do whatever you tell me. Always. We're going to take more phone calls in a moment. Nancy Pearl is our guest. Her latest book is out for parents, for teachers, for those who have grandparents, aunts, uncles, and people who love books and love to have children love books. Nancy's latest book is Book Crush for kids and teens. Recommended reading for every moment. And every mood, moment, and interest. 800-486-8655, 227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. To more phone calls now for Nancy Pearl, we go to Robin from Little Chute. Hi, Robin.
thanks for having me on the air.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention for the woman who called earlier about her daughter who wasn't so into reading as a teenager or preteen. When I was growing up, my parents read to me quite a bit, and I loved to listen, and then I went through a whole phase growing up where I just didn't read. I didn't really like reading. I remember saying, I don't really like reading, and now I'm 27, and in my 20s, I think that I really just came to it on my own, and I'm now quite an avid reader, so I think maybe in some cases the kids just have to grow into that to really, you know, have the maybe life experience to appreciate what reading can give you. And it, for me, I think it took a special book also.
Do you remember what the book was?
Well, I would have to say Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's really all I had to say. And I think nobody pushed me to do it. I just came to it on my own. So I think maybe that's just what it takes for some people.
Mm-hmm. It's probably true, Nancy, isn't it?
It is. It is. It sounds as if our original caller, though, the daughter did have some issues with learning orally.
Right.
A-U-R-A-L-O-Y.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Robin, for your call. We go to Polly next from Richland Center. Hi, Polly.
Good morning.
Hi.
Exciting show. Well, you've just talked about my most favorite topic in the whole wide world, and that's reading to children. And I and my therapy dog, Chloe, are members of the READ team, R-E-A-D, Reading Education Assistance Dog. And along with another pet partner friend of mine, we go to the Lone Rock Library, where children select books and sit down one-on-one and read to a dog.
Huh.
And it's a ton of fun.
I have heard of that program, and I think it's just so fabulous.
It's a blast. And the child is usually petting or stroking the dog while he's reading. And this induces relaxation and lowered blood pressure. And before you know it, the child forgets how hard reading is and starts to look forward to it. And pretty soon, you know, week after week, that child comes running in with enthusiasm saying things like, "Hey, Chloe, I picked out a new book I know you're going to love."
Oh, that's great.
We have a blast. When we're working in the school during the school year, teachers select students to come to us, and oftentimes special students become really special students and the envy of everyone in school because they get to read to a dog.
Aww.
And this program has enriched my life, not only the lives of the children, but my dog has a blast. And I have a website for you where people can find out more about the READ program. They can read all about it. www.therapyanimals.org.
Okay.
You have to be first a licensed pet partner team, either through Delta Society or TDI.
Okay.
And after your dog has passed the therapy dog test, then you go on and you can get your READ certification. Our local group is called Tales from the Bark Side. We have a blast. We volunteer. It is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. And I strongly recommend folks either getting online and finding a READ group near them, or if you have a great dog that loves children and can stick politely and look very interested, get on board and join the fun.
Let's sign up, Nancy.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it sure does. That's wonderful. It's therapyanimals.org for more information. Thank you, Polly, so much for your call. I had not heard of that program before. Let's go next to Sarah from Pell Lake. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I'm also responding to a lady who called in about her daughter. I have dyslexia, and I like to read, but there's only certain books I like to read, and I have a hard time reading. So my husband at night will actually read to me what books that we both enjoy, the fantasy books and stuff. And I find it really great. It's a nice time to just sit and listen, and I get more out of it. And it's just a nice, quiet moment for us. So don't get disheartened and keep reading no matter what the age, because it's a nice quiet moment that you're always going to remember.
Yeah.
That's great. That's perfect.
Thank you so much for your call. We go to Dorothy next from Stevens Point. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have an 8-year-old daughter who's obsessed with reading. It's wonderful. I mean, she loves to read. The problem I have is I can't get her to not read when it's time to get dressed or go to school or even go to sleep. I've caught her in the bathroom with a flashlight at 2 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, she's only 8. I hate to say put the book down, but I find myself saying that way too often. So maybe you or some of your callers might have advice.
Well, I would be probably the wrong person to ask for advice because I was that child.
Yeah, I'll bet too. You were. Mm-hmm.
So, and look, it's led. I've had a glorious life because of reading.
Right.
I have to say,
right,
especially the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So, I think that of course everybody needs balance in their lives, and it would be good if everybody read to just the right amount. I mean, when I first wrote Booklust, I dedicated it to my oldest granddaughter, Sarah, who was just born then. And I said, I hope she grows up loving to read, but not too much, because an unbalanced life is not what we're aiming for our children.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's unbalanced in the form of reading too much, I don't think she's going to, it's going to do too much harm.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. It is remarkable. I don't know if you, I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but I will. It is amazing, the glorious life you called it that you've had because of your love of books. I mean, look at where you are in your life right now, Nancy. Isn't it good?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
And it really has all just been so organic in its development.
Yes,
I mean, one thing just happened, and then another thing would happen, and this book came out, and then I thought, well, we should do a sequel. But you know what's exciting to me, Kathleen, is that I'm hearing from kids who are reading Book Crush.
Wonderful.
You know, they're picking it up, and they're discovering some of their old favorites, which
mm-hmm.
makes them feel validated, which
mm-hmm.
is a good feeling for anybody, and then other books that sound really interesting to them. So I thought, I've been feeling really good about those emails that I've been getting.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Karen. Hi, Karen from Rollingston, Minnesota. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to request some titles. We have a little granddaughter who just turned 5, and she's been reading for a while now on her own, and she's just making great leaps and bounds. But we love to read chapter books together so that I can read out loud to her. Some that she has just loved were The Courage of Sarah Noble and My Father's Dragon and all of those books, and The Doll People by Ann Martin, and
uh-huh.
The Meanest Doll in the World was just her absolute favorite. She gets so excited, she jumps up when we're reading, and she hops around in the room. can't contain her excitement. And so I would like some suggestions maybe of some, I'm a reading specialist, but some books that you think she might like. She loves books that have girls in them.
Yes, yes. Now, what have you done, the Amelia Bedelia books?
No.
Oh, those are fun.
Some of them, and I wasn't sure if she would catch on to the use of language.
I think you might have to, explain a little bit about how Amelia is the little
sure.
girl who takes everything so literally.
Sure.
But I think that you would definitely get those.
Okay.
There's another older title set in Appalachia, which I think you could probably get through the library, which doesn't have a girl as a main character, but has a wonderful boy, called Did You Carry the Flag Today, Charlie?
Oh, I know that book, and I haven't thought about it. That's a great book.
Yes. And then Walter the Lazy Mouse.
Okay.
The Goonie Bird Green books.
Goonie Bird Green.
Yeah, they're by Lois Lowry.
Oh, okay.
Of course, the Ramona books.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's on my list.
So I think those would be...
Thank you so much.
Those would be just great.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
Leslie from Appleton is next. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who is just so infatuated with basketball, and she's going to be playing it this summer. And I'm wondering, are there any books out there that aren't too young and yet not too old that would be geared to, like, a preteen like her on basketball?
I include in Book Crush a whole series on sports books for both girls and boys.
Okay.
So you might want to take a look at that.
Okay.
But I have to say, There's a book called The Middle Moffat by Eleanor Estes, which is still in print. It came out years ago. But there's one chapter in there where one of the characters, Janie, plays basketball, and it's old-fashioned basketball, and it is just one of my all-time favorite chapters.
Oh, and what's the name of it?
The book is called The Middle Moffat, M-O-F-F-A-T-T, and Janie Moffat is one of the characters.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
The Middle Moffat. Okay.
Yeah, that would just be, I mean, that's just a fun book, but there is that one chapter when Janie gets her first lesson in basketball.
Hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
But there are more sports books in Book Crush.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. Nancy, I'm so glad the book is published. We've talked about it for some time, and
I
here
know.
It is. It's great. Thank you so much for being with us, as always.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, our pleasure. Nancy Pearl, and her latest book, it's just out, is Book Crush, for kids and teens, recommended reading for every mood, moment, and interest. I think that we've interviewed Nancy right after her other books. We discovered her when Book Lust came out, and then more Book Lust, the second book. She's just had quite a career because of her glorious life, as she says, because of her love of reading and her ability to give us so much enthusiasm. I mean, I'm going to leave the air now and go get the My Name Is Asher Love. That's what she does for me. All right, Nancy. I'm going to get the book. Well, thanks to Rhonda Fanning, who's also a librarian and does a great job. Librarians, producers, you know, all goes together. It's all good. Thanks to Rhonda for producing the hour and for on-air production as well. And thanks, everybody, for all of your terrific calls for Nancy. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.